If I send them away fasting to their home, they will faint in the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Canon, dear faithful, on the face of it, it may seem rather strange that Holy Mother Church has waited 6 weeks after the Feast of Pentecost before her sacred readings recall to mind the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. After all, is it not the Blessed Eucharist, this sacrament of sacraments, is it not the center of both the liturgy and the whole of Christian life? Should it not have pride of place in this season after Pentecost? Indeed, it may seem a bit surprising. However, just as our blessed Lord spent almost 6 weeks here on earth after his glorious resurrection so that we may taste and see that the Lord is sweet, so the church has waited 6 weeks after the Feast of Pentecost to remind us, forgetful men, that he is with us all days, even to the consummation of the world. Not only reigning as King in heaven, but remaining with us under the appearances of bread and wine. He is truly with us. He is our Emmanuel, here to give refreshment to our souls. Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. Take up my yoke upon you, and learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. And he will refresh us. That is, he will give to our souls the sustenance they need to be sustained in the life of divine grace as adoptive children of God. If I send them away fasting to their home, they will faint away. If prayer, that one-on-one with our Creator, is respiration for the soul, according to the teachings of the spiritual masters, then the bread of angels must be its nourishment, its sustenance. Just as to submit the body to hunger is to weaken it and eventually bring it closer to death little by little, so too to deprive the soul of its own nourishment is to weaken it and to expose it to its death, which is separation from God by sin, simply because our souls did not have the spiritual strength to serve sin no longer. Did not our Lord himself say, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." In other words, whosoever shall partake of his flesh worthily, and so by live according to his vocation as a child of our Heavenly Father, his soul shall live forever of the life of God. Christ said also, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you." So, how can we claim to live together with Christ, as St. Paul says in today's epistle, if we do not nourish our souls with the food that he himself gave, which is his flesh? If our parents know what is best for us, even so does our Creator, who made us, who and what we are, and sustains us by pure love and goodness. St. Paul writes also to the Romans, "So do you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive in God." In other words, for those who are born into the life of God by baptism must sustain that divine life by dying to sin. But how can we die to sin, dear faithful, unless our souls live and live by the divine sustenance? To die to sin, we poor creatures, wounded by original sin, need to return frequently to the source of divine life, who is truly present in this sacrament of love. If I send them away fasting to their home, they will faint away. Indeed, we must frequently approach the altar to receive from the hands of the priest our sweet Jesus. But we must do so with the reverence due to the second person of the Blessed Trinity. First, we must already serve sin no longer. That is, we must be in a state of grace, walking, as St. Paul says, in newness of life. This grace was conferred upon our souls the day of our baptism and remains there unless we renounce it. Now, if we have unfortunately renounced this grace by grave sin, the mercy of God offers us the grace of repentance, if we ask it by a good confession, motivated by a contrite and humble heart. Second, we must approach the sacred banquet with sentiments of love, piety, modesty, and humility. We must know what we are doing when we receive the body of our blessed Lord. We ought to avoid approaching his divine goodness out of simple routine or habit. And even more so, we should never accept that he enter under our roof because we think ourselves worthy or that his coming is somehow our prerogative. Domine non sum dignus. This would otherwise be a grave sin of pride. For although Almighty God has humbled himself, as is written in the epistle to the Philippians, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, he did so to save us from our sins, not so that we should repeat pridefully the words of Lucifer, "I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God," from the prophet Isaiah. Let us pray then, dear faithful, the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God, to grant us this ardent desire to receive her Son into our souls, and to receive him as worthily as we poor sinners are capable, with the help of grace. Let us pray for the conversion of all men, so that our Lord might make of all our hearts living tabernacles of his glory, so that the ending of the gospel today might be made ever truer. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away, but sent them away not without purpose, but to be a light for the world. Ite missa est. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.